our Brad summer is over, but we will continue to ask, do you care? Andy Hart, what do you care about this week?
So, I care, I think, about the WNBA playoffs.
You do?
Caitlin Clark.
You care about Caitlin Clark.
Is playing your Connecticut son. My Connecticut son.
My Connecticut son?
Oh, we're in. That's our closest team.
We're in Connecticut,
right?
Yeah, I guess.
We're close. They played the big game at the Garden this year.
They did, yep.
Sold out the Garden for the W, or the Dub, whatever they call it now, not the WNBA. Only old lamos like me call it all.
They don't call it the WNBA anymore?
I think they call it the W, or the Dub. But anyway, Caitlin Clark was horrific in game one in a loss. 4 of 17 shooting. She also...
Bad shooting night, yes.
So that was a bit of a black eye on her box score. She got a black eye from a shot to the face that was not called a foul. I don't want to butcher this name, but Carrington for the Connecticut Sun, DeJanay?
DeJanay Carrington,
DeJanay Carrington. Hit her. There's a lot of discussion on social media. Should there have been a foul? ESPN, I guess, basically ignored it in their game story. There was no talk of it. And this continues that whole storyline of do people take pot shots at Caitlin Clark? Is there this jealousy among other WNBA players against Caitlin Clark? And honestly, you know what I think this is? Good. It's good for ratings. It's good for interest. Set up these rivalries. Set up these battles, right? This is how it worked in college. Now do it in the WNBA and keep it going. So I do care about the WNBA playoffs and Caitlin Clark. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I didn't see this game. I'm watching the play right now that she got the black eye on. It didn't seem like she was doing it. She was going for the ball.
Yeah.
And kind of swatted down and got her in the eye, which, I mean, listen, you shouldn't do that, obviously.
Hype it up.
But as I've said before, every single time anyone fouls this girl, it becomes a national story. And it just, I don't know.
And that's good for the WNBA.
It is.
People care, they're interested, they're watching, they're arguing.
It is, until they start getting abusive towards the players who foul their precious little Caitlin Clark, which has also been happening a lot, too.
I personally don't have a problem with that. You know why? Because that's true equality. I think there's been abuse in sports that's stupid for years. Now, either get rid of it in all of sports or say it goes with the territory, right?
Sure. But I also think that there's a whole brand and a whole league full of fans, who I use that term loosely, who are only interested in the aspects of this Caitlin Clark story that make them politically horny. You know, that's basically what it's about. And I think that's annoying. And I don't like when
that
permeates into it. And that's a big deal right now. And we all lived through the Bird era, you know, the Great White Hope back in the 80s. And I was a little kid back then, obviously, but it was similar to that. You know, a lot of people rooted for Bird for certain reasons, and fine. But that revolutionized the NBA. And she's revolutionizing the WNBA, too.
And it's a rising tide.
I agree with that. And also, I mean, she's kind of a dirty player, too.
And she's annoying.
She's running out there. She elbows people.
She bitches
she
about
that
everything.
Same girl in the family. Yep. I was watching a video from the same game where she basically like takes her head off. And that's the way the WNBA is getting played right now. And I like that for the WNBA, by the way. I like that it's physical. I like that it's personal. I like that there's animosity. It's a lot of that's missing from the actual NBA these days.
Yep.
And I hear a lot of people always pining for those days in the NBA where the bad boy Pistons would take Jordan's head off. And, you know, Bird's throwing the ball at Bill Laimbeer. And even in the 90s and, you know, beyond that, and how it's so soft now, and everyone just thinks that that's so bad for the NBA. But in the WNBA, everyone's getting physical and people get all butthurt about it because Caitlin Clark got fouled hard. I find that hypocritical. But I think in general, this is a good thing. I do. I think that the way that they're playing and the fact that there's a superstar that has a big target on her back and is still managing to put up big numbers, obviously not last night, she had a bad game, but in general, or 2 nights ago, whenever it was, I think that's a good thing. I agree with
you. It's absolutely a good thing. Now, let's stay in the state of Connecticut. Is it a good thing that your UConn Huskies men's football team is in talks to join the Pac-12 in its new version that could be a Pac-8? I don't even. It's a Pac-6 right now, I think.
Pac-12 is getting kind of desperate.
The Pac-2. It was the Pac-2
down, right?
With Oregon State and Washington State.
They got penalized for over-poaching Mountain West teams or something, right? Isn't that what
they're going to spend millions and millions of dollars. But is it, first of all, I know the pack in 12 is Pacific, but that's not how this works anymore. Geography has nothing to do with it.
Notre Dame played in Hockey East for like 3 years.
Oh, it's all over the map. It's terrible. But this is a school, one of three independents in the country.
Yep.
Notre Dame, UConn, UMass. UMass is joining the MAC, I believe,
I think
next
that's
season.
Right. Yep.
UConn, everybody says, oh, it'd be great if we had a great local football school, and we're going to get to Bill O'Brien and his BC Eagles in a minute. But do you think for the future of the program, is it good to join the Pac-12, or is the Pac-12 so dead and buried that it's almost not the Pac-12 anymore?
It's really not the Pac-12 anymore. It's probably good for them to not be an independent. I think the independent teams are going to get overlooked in a lot of the different ways. Not that UConn's going to be in the top 25 or anything like that, but I just think it takes you out of the spotlight for a lot of unless you're Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame has its own spotlight and its own media machine, but UConn certainly doesn't for its football team. So, I don't know. I think wherever UConn goes, they're going to be roadkill. Whatever you know, whatever conference it is, I don't think that they're going to be like it's going to be great for them no matter where it is. That's sort of what they've been for however long, and they have players that get drafted once in a while. But in general, I mean that program is what it is. I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Sticking with college football, because unfortunately here in Boston, college football doesn't get the love it should, so it gets stuffed into the Do You Care segment. Do you care about this comment from Bill O'Brien, whose team had a tremendous victory over Michigan State in the waning minutes in the rain on Saturday night? Bill O'Brien was asked if Western Kentucky could be a trap game for his team. And his answer was, there should be no trap games at Boston College. That term should never be used with BC. Single game that we play at BC is vital to this program.
Phenomenal answer. That's the type of answer you want a guy to, you know, yeah, trap game. What do you mean a trap game? We're BC. We don't have trap games.
Who the bleep do you think you are?
Yeah, right. Like, come on. A trap game means that we're, like, really rolling. It's three games into the season, and we're 2-1, you know? So it's not like, you know what I mean? Like that, I'm glad he answered it that way, and I agree with him.
Yeah, I agree with him, too, because I think he has legitimate aspirations for Boston College. You know, that quote he had earlier in the year when he said, Boston College is a, you know, great students, great campus near. Why can't Boston College be good at football? It makes no sense. He's almost like it's illogical to him that they can't be good at football.
Right.
Why can't they be good at football? Now, there's some reasons we can talk about at a different time. But no, I love this quote. And I love the little bit of energy that is building around the Eagles. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know how good a football team they are. I don't know if they can continue to play the way they're playing. And, you know, the other night I thought they got a little bit fortunate. Both quarterbacks struggled a little bit at times in the rain, and they were able to make the plays they needed to win. But I agree with him. Do you care? We just talked about Jason Tatum, who's back east for Celtics Media Day. He was with LeBron et al. For the premiere or whatever, the publication, the publicity tour of Starting Five.
Right.
The Netflix documentary that is Jimmy Butler, Anthony Edwards, LeBron, Sabonis, and Jason Tatum.
I think Netflix should probably do more sports documentaries because they're not doing any, you know? Like, you should really start.
Maybe
get serious about this whole sports documentary thing, Netflix. You've only put out like 800 of them in the last year. I'll watch this. I'll definitely watch
it. It's October 9th, by the way, will be the debut. So what are we, like 2 weeks away?
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling I'm going to watch this for an episode or two. I'm going to get super bored with it and not watch it anymore.
So that's
what happened with the quarterback and wide receiver shows.
Same.
I watched them for one or two episodes. I said, this is boring. I don't care that much about these guys' lives. I might watch because Tatum, you know, like he's a local guy. Maybe
I feel like we have to.
A little bit more there. But the other ones, I honestly got so bored of them.
Like, do you like seeing him hug LeBron and like rub elbows with LeBron? Rubs me the wrong way every time I see that.
I want him to go out there and poke him in the eye like
exactly.
Caitlin Clark. That's what I want to see.
This is East versus West. It's man against man. We're not friends. This is not friends. I'm trying to defend a title here. But I am interested in that, but I do feel the same way of you. I'll be interested and then I may lose interest. It's sort of like tonight. Week two of the Hernandez documentary.
Oh, yeah, that's tonight, right?
On FX. I'm more interested in that than I expected, even though I missed the first night and had to watch it on Hulu, and we'll be watching it live tonight. But I believe in episode 4 tonight, Bill Belichick makes an appearance, his first appearance.
Okay.
And the actor who portrays Bill Belichick.
Brian Dennehy.
No.
No.
Some guy I never heard of. His last name is Butt, I think. Will be joining Nick Fitzy Stevens.
His last name's Butt?
Yes. And his first name's funny, too. He's got a tough name. He has a tough draw. Not an exactly boy named Sue, but it is what it is. Anyway, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Seymour Butt.
Something like that. Nick Fitzy Stevens will be interviewing him for the Six Rings podcast later this week, so we will have one of the actors from the Hernandez doc.
Yes, Norbert Leo Butts.
Norbert Butts. You're going to tell me
Norbert,
that's not a tough
that's
draw?
Right. Norbert Leo Butts.
That's right.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
For what? Getting beat up as a kid?
Born to play Bill Belichick.
Hey, Butts, get over here so I can kick it. Like, what? I mean, you'd think you'd want to go through life with that name?
Marion Butts. Remember him? Yeah, running back for the Chargers?
Big badass.
Big guy, yeah.
I don't think this guy's a big badass running back.
Don't say something to him.
I wasn't here last week, but were you guys surprised at how hard they leaned into like his romantic aspect?
I mean, that was the whole show. That was the whole backbone of the show so far.
All of it. It, yeah. Like, quickly and then repetitively and in different ways.
Thought, I was like, guys, give it a rest.
Like
this is the story they're telling. I mean, this is
their story. Like, I like to think they have at least. And there was, if any of the other things you've listened to or read, there was an aspect to that. Now, I don't think anyone's quite sure exactly where it went, how deep it went, those types of things. But they have definitely leaned into it. And I think that's for obvious reasons, Stiz. Like, it gets attention.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of knows the story of what happened on the surface.
Yeah.
Even what
happened behind the scenes is.
Right.
Right.
Like, we're not sure this is true, but it might be true. So let's lean into it and see if we can convince people it's true and get more eyeballs.